Lord, we thank you again that we can have an opportunity to open your word, to hear from you. We know that all scripture is God-breathed, it's useful. And we pray, Lord, that this will be useful to our hearts today. Amen. There we go. Okay, so we've got some weird words today I wanted to spend time with. I'm going to show you an outline of Genesis, and it's based on the Toledot structure. Toledot is a Hebrew word that could mean generations or genealogy or accounts. So a number of scholars have looked at Genesis and found that it seems to have sections broken down. It starts with a prologue, so creation of heaven and earth, and then it's got a section that begins with, this is the account of, or this is the genealogy of, and it talks about different things. Heaven and earth was the first one, and we've covered that section. Then the Toledot of Adam, and it goes from chapter 5, verse 1. You remember how exciting that chapter was? It's kind of like reading the phone book. It was pretty good through 6, 8, and that's been covered as well. Then the Toledot of Noah has almost been covered. I stopped before we finished through this section, and I'm going to get the remainder of that today. And we're going to find out how human Noah is, just like the rest of us. And don't you love God that he loves us anyway? The Toledot of Shem, Ham, and Japheth is going to be almost all covered today, except for I'm going to skip 9 verses. And then the Toledot of Shem, so he shows up twice. There's a reason for that. We'll talk about that. And then we've got Terah. How many of you remember who Terah was? 3 or 4 of you? Okay. Terah is Abram or Abraham's dad. So this is the account of Terah. It starts sharing basically the life of Abraham. Toledot of Ishmael, Abraham's eldest son. Not the son of promise, though. And then Isaac. Esau, again, not the son of promise. Jacob. And during that Toledot of Jacob, we get, mostly the Bible talks about Joseph, which is kind of weird. The first thing I wanted to do, though, was go to Genesis chapter 9, verse 18, and let's complete this section on Noah, if that's all right. Kathy warned me not to spend too much time in this. It's one of those sections in the Bible where you've got... I was trying to find the country western song that says, "Hey Daddy, I found you naked in the tent drunk." Because that's the story that we're about to cover here. Didn't find the song, and Kathy's very thankful that I didn't, but I'm sure there's a country western song out there somewhere that goes that way. Verse 18 of chapter 9. The sons of Noah who came out of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Ham was the father of Canaan. It's kind of a parenthetical statement. Usually when those are thrown in there, they're there for a reason. And from Canaan comes the Canaanites that needed to be displaced because they had reached their level of iniquity that God says, "I'm done with you, Israel, go in and take the land." These were the three sons of Noah, and from them came the people who were scattered over the earth. So the two genealogies sections that I'm going to cover today talk about the scattered people. They were all people from Noah, from his three sons. Noah, a man of the soil, man of the earth, proceeded to plant a vineyard. So he's gotten off the ark, and he's going to be planting something. He's a farmer. When he drank some of its wine, this didn't happen in a week, this took some time, he became drunk and lay uncovered inside his tent. Ham, the father of Canaan, keeps mentioning that, saw his father's nakedness and told his two brothers outside. But Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it across their shoulders. Then they walked in backward, covered their father's nakedness. Their faces were turned the other way so that they would not see their father's nakedness. When Noah awoke from his wine and found out what his youngest son had done to him, he said, and then there'll be a section here about curses and blessings, which is really a prophecy that, Noah gives pertaining to his offspring, his children and grandchildren and whatnot. There's a lot of conjecture about what actually happened here. Because most of us look at this and we say, okay, Ham walked in, he saw his dad naked, and he went out and he told his brothers. That sounds like kind of a little minor thing. You see dad and it's like, whoops, you go out, tell the brothers. So a lot of people have tried to come up with reasons why this is a whole lot more than what it says it is. In fact, some of the Jewish rabbis have speculated that Ham went in and castrated his dad, and that's why Noah didn't have any more children. Doesn't say that. A lot of people think, well, that must have been some homosexual activity or something. There must have been something awful going on here. It doesn't say that. There's a term that's very similar, and where some people are trying to say this is just, it's kind of code language for something terrible, bad happened. If you went to Leviticus 18, and I would recommend you do that sometime, there's a long section on all of the different people where it says you're not to uncover the nakedness of your father, your mother, your sister, your father's wife. You know, there's a whole list of people. And not to uncover the nakedness of them. In the New International Version, that is translated as not to have sexual relations with. And it's probably an accurate translation. So if you go to Leviticus and you talk about uncovering the nakedness, it would mean something more than just that. But that doesn't seem to be what happened here with Ham as he went in. His father's nakedness was already uncovered. His father was in his tent, drunk, uncovered. And there seems to be a different sin that's going on here. And I'm reading a book presently called, I think it's Respected Sins, Respectable Sins, something like that. As believers, we oftentimes have a list of those sins that are bad. Those are the ones we don't do. And then we have a list of sins that aren't so bad. Those are the ones we're more prone to. I think this would probably fall in one of those categories of not such a bad sin. He saw his dad, went out and told his brothers. In Mark chapter 7, I want to hear the words of Jesus Christ. Mark 7 verse 10. Jesus says, "For Moses said, honor your father and your mother." Where would he get that? Ten Commandments. You could go to Exodus 20, Deuteronomy 6. Honor your father and your mother. And then he also adds here, Moses also said, anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. And that's also in Scripture. That's in Exodus 21:17. That's in Leviticus 20, verse 9. You curse your parents, you die. We don't take that sin very seriously, do we? We don't take that dishonor of parents very seriously. God does. And so what I see from this passage where Ham went in, he sees Dad, and he thinks it's kind of funny. Maybe he feels like, you know, yeah, I'm better than Dad. Look, he's drunk in his tent naked, and I'm out here, and I'm a better person. And he starts lifting himself up. I'm doing some conjecture here as well. But then he goes out and tells his brothers. Why did he have to tell his brothers? What's that?
He knew something they didn't
know. He knew something they didn't know. How many of us share things just because we know it? There's all kinds of things going on here. I mean, again, and one of those respectable sins that we have is gossip, slander. We put other people down verbally. Don't think that much of it. Noah obviously was messed up. I mean, he's drunk and naked in his tent. That's a problem. This isn't how we want to remember him, right? Do you know that our father doesn't remember him that way? It's in the scripture because he wants us to know the full story. But when you get to Hebrews 11 and you start reading about Noah, righteous man, believed God, did what God asked him to do, doesn't mention this part. Don't you love that? When I was reading Psalm 103, where as far as the east is from the west, that's how far God's removed our sins. God doesn't keep a record of wrongs. 1 Corinthians 13, love doesn't keep a record of wrongs. I love that when you go through Hebrews, all of those guys. I mean, if you look in the Old Testament, you find all kinds of problems. It's like, wait a minute, this Abraham guy, he wasn't perfect. You read that section in Hebrews 11, he gets praised for the part that God had worked through him. God touches us, changes us, uses us in spite of us, and we get credit for what he does through us. And he forgives and forgets that stuff that we're doing in the flesh. So I look here, and Noah, you know, being the man that I am, I probably wouldn't let him off the hook. Ham, I might give him a pass. It's like, yeah, whatever. You know, he just saw something and went and shared it with a couple people. Well, Noah's only recorded as saying one thing in Scripture. We have a pretty long section here where he's doing everything that God asked him to do. He speaks once. I'm going to start back in chapter 9 of Genesis, verse 24. When Noah awoke from his wine, he woke out of his drunken stupor and found out what his youngest son had done to him, he said, now these are Noah's only recorded words, "Cursed be Canaan, the lowest of slaves will he be to his brothers." What's Canaan got to do with this? That's Ham's son, but... you know, if I woke up and found out that Ham had done something to me, I think I'd be cursing him. You know that our children get an awful lot from us. Not always what we want them to. They get off the ark, and here we've got a new beginning. God had picked out this family. He preserved them, took them through the flood. And they get off the ark, and sin shows up again. Nakedness and shame. With Adam and Eve, God and Adam and Eve tried to cover the shame of their nakedness. They realized that there's a problem with this. Noah... you know, it's righteous man. How many of us can say at one point in our lives we're righteous and another point make a list of all these things we're doing? Paul's kind of like that. He writes to the Corinthians and he calls them saints and then he tells them everything they're doing wrong that they need to fix. We're a little schizophrenic sometimes, aren't we? So he curses Canaan. Now, I would suspect that in a prophetic way, Noah is recognizing that Canaan and his offspring are going to be wicked and become more and more wicked. And you've got to realize that the audience that this book was originally written for and when they would have been receiving it. The first five books written by Moses... they're getting ready to go into the promised land. They're going to take the Canaanites, and they've been asked by God to destroy them. Because the Canaanites had reached the fullness of iniquity. And here's just a clue from the beginning of how that started and where it came from and how it got worse and worse and worse. We get little sins in our lives, and we think that's no big deal. One little weed won't ruin the garden. Well, Well, in addition to the prophetic word over Canaan, verse 26, Noah also said, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem." He recognized that his son Shem was a godly man. "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem. May Canaan be the slave of Shem. May God extend the territory of Japheth." Japheth kind of means extend or expand. "May Japheth live in the tents of Shem." So he's going to be at peace with his brother Shem. "And may Canaan be his slave." After the flood, Noah lived 350 years. Altogether, Noah lived 950 years, and then he died. And that kind of takes us to the end of the Toledoth, the account of Noah. We don't hear a lot more about Noah in the Old Testament. He is referenced often in the New Testament. Genesis 10:1. This is the account of Shem, Ham, and Japheth, Noah's sons, who themselves had sons after the flood. And that's from the New International Version. The English Standard Version says, "These are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Sons were born to them after the flood." And then the New King James Version, "Now this is the genealogy of the sons of Noah." So you see, the Toledoth is account, generations, genealogy. It's going to come up a different ways in the way it's translated. It's the beginning of a story. Why does this matter? The whole book of Genesis is arranged around people and their stories. God cares about people. He tells his story through people, through us. God reaches down into history and touches individuals and works through them, through us. Why does he use the church? I can think of a lot more efficient ways to get the gospel out to the world. God uses people. Here's kind of a quick, simple breakdown. As we read through chapter 10, you can kind of see that Japheth was on the outskirts part. Ham kind of went south. Shem stayed in the central area. Yeah, the Middle East there. So here's like some of the ones mentioned in chapter 10, Gomer. So this is one thought of where they kind of settled at the time that they settled, which is interesting because in chapter 11 it says they were all together. So this is kind of, chapter 10 comes before chapter 11 to a degree, where you're talking about the separated people, the dispersed people. Chapter 11 begins out why they were dispersed and how they were dispersed. Magog up there. Russia, Asia. You've got Medai, Javan, Tubal, Meshech, and Tiras. Now you've got the sons of Ham, Cush, kind of down south, the Ethiopian area of Mizraim, the Egypt, and then Put, Canaan, and you realize that the people of Canaan, the sons of Canaan, became the Canaanites, filling up the land, and as you start getting into all the heights, it points out these were the ones that were really wicked. Eventually, God said they need to be driven out of the land. Nimrod, there's kind of a strange one that gets thrown in the middle. He's not one of the sons of Noah, is he? Son of Ham. And Nimrod is well known. It gave a pretty good section in there about how he'd gone out and built big cities. One of the more famous ones would be Babylon, and a number of others. Nineveh. Pretty much these large cities that Nimrod had built became Assyrian strongholds, and they were enemies of Israel. Shem, in the Middle East, and you kind of see where they originally kind of spread out. And here's another map that talks about some of them. So if you look at the red ones, were for Japheth, all of those different ones there, and you can kind of see Japheth was expanded a lot. The blue from Shem, the yellow from Ham. If you want more interest in this, we can talk later. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on any of these, but another view. So
You look at different maps, they're not all exactly 100% the same, but you kind of get the general idea of how they dispersed. Let's read through that chapter real quick.
This is the account of Shem, Ham, and Japheth, Noah's sons, who themselves had sons after the flood. Starts out with the Japhethites. The sons of Japheth, Gomer, Magog, Madai, Javan, Tubal, Meshech, and Tiras. The sons of Gomer, so it gives some of the grandsons of Japheth, Ashkenaz, Riphath, and Togomar. The sons of Javan, Elisha, Tarshish, and the Kittim and the Rodanim. So we're talking about groups of people at some point here. From these, the maritime people spread out into their territories by their clans within their nations, each with its own language. Obviously, after the Tower of Babel story. The sons of Ham, so we've got the Hamites, Cush, Mizraim, Put, and Canaan. Sons of Cush, Seba, Havilah, Sabta, Rama, Sabtika. The sons of Rama, Sheba, and Dedan. Cush was the father of Nimrod, who grew to be a mighty warrior on the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. That is why it is said, you've all probably heard this saying, right? Like Nimrod, a mighty hunter before the Lord. The indication there in the Hebrew is this is not just a hunter of animals. He's probably a hunter of people. And he's probably one of those mighty men that when the spies went into the land of Canaan and looked and saw these mighty men, probably his offspring. The first centers of his kingdom were Babylon, Erech, Akkad, and Calna in Shinar. From that land he went to Assyria, where he built Nineveh, Rehoboth-ir, Kala, and Resen, which is between Nineveh and Kala, that is, the great city. Mizraim was the father of the Ludites, Anamites, Lehabites, Naphtuhites, Pathrusites, Casluhites, and from whom the Philistines came. Philistines were kind of nomadic and water people. And then Kaphtorites. Canaan was the father of, and this is a group of people you're going to hear again and again as we continue through Genesis, Sidon, his firstborn, and of the Hittites, Jebusites, Amorites, Girgashites, Hivites, Arkites, Sinites, the Arvadites, Zemarites, and the Hamathites. Later, the Canaanite clans scattered, and the borders of Canaan reached from Sidon toward Gerar as far as Gaza, and then toward Sodom, Gomorrah, Admah, Zeboim, and as far as Leshah. These are the sons of Ham by their clans and languages in their territories and nations. And then we get the Semitic people, the sons of Shem. Sons were also born to Shem, whose older brother was Japheth. And there's a rough translation there, so they're not 100% sure whether Shem or Japheth was the older one. Shem's always listed first. And we know that Ham is the youngest. From the previous chapter, but we don't know for sure with Shem and Japheth which one was the elder. Verse 22, the sons of Shem, Elam, Ashur, Arphaxad, Lud, and Aram, the sons of Aram, Uz, Hul, Gether, and Meshech. Arphaxad was the father of Shelah, Shelah the father of Eber. Two sons were born to Eber. One was named Peleg, because in his time the earth was divided. His brother was named Joktan. Joktan was the father of Almadad, Sheleph, Herzaramaveth, Jera, Hadaram, Uzal, Dikla, Obel, Abimael, Sheba, Ophir, Havilah, and Jobab. All these were sons of Joktan. The region where they lived stretched from Mesha toward Sefer in the eastern hill country. These are the sons of Shem by their clans and languages in their territories and nations. These are the clans of Noah's sons according to their lines of descent within their nations. From these, the nations spread out over all the earth after the flood. Jump with me to chapter 11 and verse 10. And this is the Toledoth of Shem, and it's a little bit different than the Toledoth we just had gone over. It's vertical rather than horizontal, okay? In chapter 10, it was talking about all the side people. So, somebody's brother and another brother, a whole bunch of them, and it would kind of just spread out and show how horizontally they had filled the earth.
This one's more vertical. It's taking you from a line, so you're going all the way from Noah to Abram. And then Eber, he was one of the two sons. His brother Joktan was covered in chapter 10. Eber's line gets covered in chapter 11. He seems to be where the name Hebrew came from in describing people of Abram or Abraham. And then Moses narrows the focus on the people of Shem to continue the line of the woman's seed toward Jesus Christ the Messiah. There's a real reason why this section would be there. It's taking us to Jesus, which is really what all the Old Testament is about. It's pretty good. This is the account of Shem. 2 years after the flood, when Shem was 100 years old, he became the father of Arphaxad. And after he became the father of Arphaxad, Shem lived 500 years and had other sons and daughters. When Arphaxad had lived 35 years, he became the father of Shelah. And after he became the father of Shelah, Arphaxad lived 403 years, had other sons and daughters. When Shelah had lived 30 years, he became the father of Eber. After he became the father of Eber, Shelah lived 403 years and had other sons and daughters. When Eber had lived 34 years, he became the father of Peleg. After he became the father of Peleg, Eber lived 430 years, had other sons and daughters. When Peleg had lived 30 years, he became the father of Reu. And after he became the father of Reu, Peleg lived 209 years, had other sons and daughters. When Reu had lived 32 years, he became the father of Serug. After he became the father of Serug, Reu lived 207 years and had other sons and daughters. When Serug had lived 30 years, he became the father of Nahor. And after he became the father of Nahor, Serug lived 200 years and had other sons and daughters. When Nahor had lived 29 years, he became the father of Terah. And after he became the father of Terah, Nahor lived 119 years and had other sons and daughters. After Terah had lived 70 years, he became the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran. So that gets us to Abram. Interesting section to me. I don't know about to you. It's very important for the lineage of Jesus Christ. And if you want to read it in a little bit different order, and it's almost exactly the same, you can go to Luke chapter 3. And the Luke chapter 3 genealogy takes you all the way from Joseph, the perceived father of Jesus Christ, all the way back to Adam. And this section is in there. There's only one name, Canaan, that is listed in the Luke 3 passage that's not in this. And part of that may be that there's... When you look at Genesis 5, Genesis 11, there's some parallelisms with the number of generations that they show, and many scholars think that these are representative generations, and there may be some that are skipped. And whether there are or aren't, we do know that it's a direct line. These are historic figures, and it brings us to Jesus Christ. So that's kind of the important part of the Bible. I love that Jesus uses people. I love that he loves us in spite of who we are and what we've done. And we can trust that when he makes a promise, he says, back when he was cursing the serpent, he said that the seed of the woman was going to crush the head of the serpent. It's going to be victorious. We can read the end of the story and know which side we want to be on. Choose Jesus if you haven't already. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for who you are. We thank you that you're faithful, you're just, you're loving, merciful, compassionate, kind, gracious, so many things, God. Cause us to be people that want to spend time with you, to fear you and run and flee to you, not from you, because we know, Lord, that there's no place we can hide. Cause us to be people that mirror your image. Change each one of our hearts, God. Thanks for all the change that you've done so far. We look forward to so much more. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.